After months of anti-government protests in Hong Kong, Beijing will vote today on its controversial security law for the territory. Details of the bill are scant, but Beijing says it will aim to tackle separatism, subversion, terrorism, and foreign interference in Hong Kong. But democracy advocates warn the new law will further erode the autonomy promised when Britain handed the territory back to China in 1997. Emily Lau is a former Democratic Party member of the Hong Kong Legislative Council and a former chairperson of the Democratic Party, and I spoke to her earlier.
Hello, good morning.
Hong Kong democracy advocates have been fighting against this legislation since last year with massive street protests. Now Beijing is set to implement the National Security Bill. Will that effectively stop protests?
I don't think so. Well, we will find out very soon. But of course, many people are very frightened. And I need to tell your listeners. But there are others who are determined to fight. And they know they may be arrested and tortured and go to jail or even extradited to mainland China. But there are people who are very determined to fight for their future. But equally, there are those who want to get out. They are very scared. They want the British government, which is the form of colonial power, to give them citizenship in the UK. So people are very tense. It is a very nervous and frightened and angry city.
Well, since you've mentioned that, I was going to come to it later. We'll talk about it now. I mean, do you think the promise of Boris Johnson to welcome Hong Kongers who are entitled to citizenship, which is a large number of people, is real?
Well, I should hope so, my dear friend. But when he said it, I think the whole world was shocked. Why? Because almost no one, very few people, expected Britain to do anything for Hong Kong. And although they've run Hong Kong for 1.5 centuries, but anyway, he said it. Other ministers have also said it. And now Beijing is about to pass that terrible law. So Boris Johnson has to act. But of course, he's also talking to his allies, particularly the Five Eye countries, which of course includes Australia, hoping they will also help to set up this international lifeboat scheme to help Hong Kong people who want to flee. But at the end of the day, actually, Hong Kong people don't want to run. They don't want to flee. They want to stay in Hong Kong. They want to be free. They want to be safe. And we want the international community to help us achieve that.
Now, Beijing says the new law will make secession, subversion, terrorism and collusion with foreign forces illegal. Are there any details or experience from within China as to what exactly will be deemed a crime under those headings and what the punishments will be?
Well, if you look at mainland China, you just look at the way they treat their dissidents, their journalists, their religious people, human rights defenders, human rights lawyers. I mean, there is lawlessness. The people just disappear for years. No access to family or to lawyers. They get tortured. It's terrible. And the families are also ostracized. Children cannot go to school. It's hell. That's why people are so frightened. They look across the boundary and see what's happening there. And to think that it's going to descend upon us. So the one country, two systems policy is going to evaporate. And China is reneging on its promise to the Hong Kong people and also the promise to the UK.
I understand that the law envisages setting up an office in Hong Kong to gather intelligence and handle crimes against national security. What will that mean for Hong Kong, not just the people of Hong Kong, but legislatively? Because you've got a legislative council that has some authority. Does it neuter the legislative council?
I am actually sitting in the legislative council complex talking to you now. But sadly, the legislature has no say. My colleagues here try to raise some questions, try to move an urgent debate on the law, and they were all disapproved by the president. So I think we can foresee that the legislature in Hong Kong will have no say whatsoever. And these people, you rightly said, that the national security people are coming into Hong Kong, set up an agency, they will go and spy on Hong Kong people and do all that. I mean, that's one country, one system. we were assured by the Sino-British Joint Declaration that we could have our free lifestyle, personal safety for 50 years, from 1997 to 2047. This is only 2020. I mean, really, it's so ridiculous. And that's why people are so frightened and so angry.
What do you make of the timing of the passing of this law just one day before the July 1st anniversary of Hong Kong's return to Chinese sovereignty?
Yeah, well, it is very unfortunate. Maybe it's deliberate too. And every year since 97, Hong Kong people were free to march on July 1st. Sometimes we have, you know, more than 500,000 or million people marching. This year, the police has not given us the permission to do it. And they claim it's the virus. But if you look at the streets of Hong Kong, it's so crowded. But they use that medical reason as a pretext for banning the march. But I think many people will turn out. And I hope there would not be too much police brutality, which you've seen on your television screens for many months. And certainly no rivers of blood flowing in Hong Kong.
Countries like Australia, the UK, the United States, Canada have warned Beijing that the law breaches the document that sets out Hong Kong's autonomy. The European Parliament says it will take China to the International Court of Justice in The Hague if the law is imposed. What more would you like to see the international community do? We've already spoken about allowing an escape route, which you say, well, Hong Kongers don't really want to do. But what else can the international community do?
Well, I think they can do something. They can do whatever's in their wisdom to try to get Beijing to be reasonable and do not, you know, come down on Hong Kong people like a ton of bricks. You have spoken a lot and we welcome that, but it's time for actions.
To what action? To see action.
Well, you can tell Beijing you have your diplomatic muscle, all kinds of means to engage Beijing. I know Australia is in a difficult situation and your government has been quite critical of China's infiltration of the Australian society. But again, I call on the international community because you are much bigger than tiny little Hong Kong. So please tell Beijing to be reasonable and not to violate the human rights of the 7 million Hong Kong people.
If, as expected, the law is passed today, what will happen next? How will the Hong Kongers react?
Well, as I said, people will continue to turn out to march. And of course, it will be illegal because the police has not given permission. And I don't know when they will give permission. And if they did, I think you will see a million people marching again peacefully. But people may disappear like they disappear in mainland China. People may be arrested and all kinds of horrific stories may emerge. And that's not Hong Kong. Many people, many of our friends in the international community, they've come to Hong Kong. They love Hong Kong as a free and vibrant city. But what we know is about to disappear. That's why I thank you for talking to me. And I use this opportunity to call on the international community to come to Hong Kong's assistance. Don't allow a free Hong Kong to sink to the bottom of the Victoria Harbour.
Emily Lai, thanks for joining us on Radio National Breakfast.
Thank you.